Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is the Who Am I Pod. We are your hosts, King CJ, Kevin Ren. King, how you feeling today?
You know, the dungeon is treating me good. You know, I'm getting my three hots in a cot, you know, in the prison that I'm stuck in right now.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was hoping you would just come out and tell us, but I didn't want to say it, so I didn't want to put you out there. But whenever you get out of prison, you know, we might be able to do something. But
Free to real, bro. They got me, you know what I mean? They allow me my computer time. I get an hour a day, so that's why
I told you don't be running up in the Capitol. I told you. I tried to tell
bro,
you.
Know, they was trying to steal the vote, you know what I mean? The big dog told me what to do. Big dog told me what to do.
Stop
so
the
I had
vote.
To go through.
Yeah. I feel you. I'll tell you, man. We told you last episode, if I'll get my stimmy. Be right there with you. I'll get my stimmy. It's actually not looking very good for the stimmy. I don't know. I'm sure you've been following more than I've been following, but
yeah,
I've seen.
I saw that coming a mile away, though. Like, all right, once we give him the vote, it's like, all right, bro.
That's the crazy thing about that is because he said that after he had already won.
Well, he wanted to get the votes for the Georgia runoff.
That's true.
So I was like, hey, if we got a Democratic Senate and House, then I could push whatever through. And you know, I'm coming through with the STEMI. And then they got the House and Senate. Just like, all right, bro. I'll holler at y'all.
2,000 comments. Steve,
the whole thing?
Yeah,
you don't even want to deposit?
Y'all want all that? You brought that information. No one asked for that until you said so.
We just all assumed we was only going to get the six. You came through like, hey, bro.
You should have never said nothing. Like, you don't want to even brought that up. nor here or there. We're going to get into a little bit of music. King got a few singles. And then we got an album to talk about. And then we're going to get into some topics today. As you know, GameStop, that's one of the things we're going to talk about. And although we're not a sports podcast, we do want to talk a little bit about the Deshaun Watson situation, what's going on with him as far as the NFL, his contract, because this actually is very interesting. We're going to take it kind of a step further if we can. So, but, King, you want to go ahead and start with some singles?
Yeah, I started off with a couple singles that dropped this week. Something that dropped since the last podcast last year. First one I want to highlight is Pink Sweats featuring Kehlani, At My Worst. So Pink Sweats actually came out with an EP last year called The Prelude, and it kind of signaled that this was kind of his last EP and that the album was coming next. You can kind of hear it in his sound because he typically records with like more of acoustic, like just the guitar and him singing. But the last EP, you've seen him using more instruments and his sound just got elevated a lot more. And one of the highlights off of that album was At My Worst. When this one featuring Kehlani, it isn't actually labeled as a remix. So that kind of signals to me that, again, this will be something on his album. And At My Worst was one of the best songs on that project. And just with the addition of Kehlani, them harmonizing is just a good song. And me personally, I'm just so stuck on R&B. I know a good R&B song is going to come out every week. I'm not necessarily sure a good rap album or even an album that I care about will come out in a rap genre. But I know for a fact at least one good song or a good album is going to come out every week at R&B, and his Pink Sweat song is no different. So that's Pink Sweats featuring Kehlani, At My Worst. And another good R&B song that came out that it's okay. Like, again, like I was saying last week with the Fredo Bang song, it's okay, but I like more of the strategy of this song. So this is Brent Fayaz and DJ Dahi featuring Tyler, the Creator, with Gravity. Now, this song actually came out a day early on the Adidas Confirmed app that I normally get in a raffles to get, you know, my Yeezys and all that. And it was pretty dope to get the notification, like, hear this song first before it goes on streaming platforms. And I was able to listen to a song. And yeah, they mentioned like lacing up the stripes and being with Adidas and all that. But it was just a dope concept to see that an artist would collaborate with a sneaker company, kind of like Travis Scott and all that, but then release music through the app. It was just a dope strategy. And I think that his sound and Tyler, the Creator sound are very, very similar, but they're very awkward. And the matching of the pair just shows the evolution of both R&B and both what Tyler, the Creator brings in the game as far as rap. So that's Brent Fayaz with Tyler, the Creator with Gravity. That's a good song as well. And then the last single that I want to highlight is, surprisingly, G Herbo with Statement. Now, I'm not the biggest G Herbo fan. You know, we've all seen the G Herbo memes with, you know, him finishing his verse before the producer finished the beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've always had that criticism of G Herbo. But me personally, I think his best songs are when he gets on like these legendary samples. So he flipped the I Really Mean It sample, and the song is called Statement, because if you're not familiar, he had a lot of controversy with him last year, the end of last year, concerning his involvement in like some fraud with the whole coronavirus relief things or whatever like that. And with this song, he actually addresses all the allegations, all the trouble that he was in, and just kind of, you know, not to be corny, but makes a statement as opposed to just going to social media and doing all that. He actually put it in the song, and it's actually a pretty good song. So shout out to G Herbo with Statement. You know, shout out to for finding a beat for once. You know what I mean?
I feel that. It's about damn time, shit. All right, well, shit, yeah, let's get into we'll get into the Lil Durk album. Let me pull it up real quick. Okay. So, Lil Durk, he dropped an album called The Voice. It's the deluxe. So, in December 2020, he dropped The Voice, right? Was it in December?
Yeah, right at the end of the year.
And so, here's the deluxe album. And it is, it's actually considerably better to me. Like, I really don't really like deluxe albums. I really just don't really get into it. It's just because I got to figure out which songs are new and which songs are old. But this one, I was just like, man, I got the time. I'll just go ahead and listen to it as well. As this one actually had the videos at the bottom as well, from 29 to 33 of the songs on the Apple Music. If you look at it that way, you'll see the actual music videos as well, which is a good site, man. I still enjoy music videos. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. I still actually enjoy music videos when somebody gives a chance. So I appreciate it. But what I can say about this is Lil Durk been on a roll for a while now. And we talked about this a little bit on our last one. It's mostly on features to me. I still don't think that I enjoy his album as much as I thought I would, based off of how well he was rapping on Drake feature or Meg Thee Stallion feature, or even the feature we talked about last week. I mean, he's been really just ripping through people's tracks and getting on these tracks and just dominating. So I thought that maybe he would probably find his pocket. But then again, I realized I'm not really a Lil Durk fan. So that's where I might have gotten a little bit into myself. I got into Lil Durk a little bit too much, just based off of the features that I thought maybe I'm a Lil Durk fan. Maybe I'll enjoy this whole album. It's not that I didn't enjoy it, because it was pretty good. It's just that when I listened to an hour of his music, I realized, OK, well, it does kind of get a little bit old. The rapping is not really it's not elite rapping. It's more of it's like I want him to be like a Moneybagg Yo, but I don't think he's there. If that sound right. The voice ain't the same, obviously, because Lil Durk got a little bit of a melodic sound sometimes. So he can do that really well, which I think is the best songs on here. When he goes to kind of the melodic stuff, when he goes to kind of street rap stuff, I kind of feel like, well, I can get a better version of this somewhere else. But when he gets into his melodic sound, he does really good with that, being a street dude and kind of singing a little bit. It kind of just really works out well for him. So I think I appreciate it. But again, when it's so long, when it's so much music and I listen to it back to back to back, again, you know, I don't really like long albums. I don't really think you do either. I don't know why anybody would. So, but when you listen to somebody's music over and over again for an hour and a half straight, it does kind of feel a little bit washed to me.
Yeah, I definitely think that sometimes the deluxe are kind of, you know, it'll come back to bite you. I get the strategy of it, the business of it, you know, more songs equals more streams equals more money. But like you said, after a while, if you're not that dynamic of an artist, that the songs just start to blend together. So I agree with that criticism. What I will say about Durk is, granted, I'm not a big fan of every song on a project, but for the songs that I do like, I'm able to see why he is one of the best of the new generation. Because I think that he kind of paved the way for this new melodic rap that's prominent now, like with the Lil Babies, with the Roddy Riches. Granted, they may have surpassed them as far as the ability to do it and do it well, but Lil Durk was early in the game and pioneering that style. And I think that the game, as well as, you know, his sound, is elevated to the point where he's getting his respect, to the point where he's featuring on Meek's songs, on Drake's songs, and all these things. He's on a lot of people's records and he's a frequent collaborator with like DaBaby. But like you said, I'm not a big fan of every song. My biggest criticism is like, yeah, he keep it real, but sometimes he keeps it like too real. And he says things, it's like, bro, I didn't need to hear that in a song.
Yeah.
Like, she told me to suck her toes. That's mandatory. I'm cool on that, bro. Like, I don't need to. Nah. I'm not trying to hear that, bro.
Yeah. Same with Meek telling us he let her spit. He let a girl spit in his mouth. Like,
yeah. Like, that. I get it. You trying to be real, but that's not.
Keep that.
That make me want to turn the song off. So.
Yeah.
But I respect his position in the game right now. I think that he's submitting himself as one of the top tier of the new generation, and I respect that. And I think this album was, you know, I might not be in that fan base, but I think it's good for those who do enjoy that type of music for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It ain't bad. Well, yeah, I guess I'll talk very briefly about Party Next Door dropping Colors. He basically paired two releases. It's his second and third EPs. It's actually not the whole EPs combined together. It's just kind of the best songs, if you would, or just some songs. So it is a good, you know, collaboration music. It's four of each. It's only 34 minutes, eight songs, obviously. And it did its job. I mean, I don't really have much to say about it because it's old music, but I thought I'd mention it. When I first seen it come out, I thought it was like a new, the third volume of Colors. So I clicked on it really kind of excited, like, damn, Party Next Door dropped. I had no idea. And then I kind of got this and was a little bit let down. So I've been kind of let down by Party Next Door for a while now. And I kind of realized like that's kind of, I think that's where he at. I mean, I don't think I keep expecting things from him and it's not coming up. It's not coming out the way I think it should. So it's good. It's a good little, you know, idea to kind of combine two mixtapes and try to get the best songs on the one and then just make some sales. So, you know, Party Next Door Colors, if you like Party Next Door and you like those other EPs, and this would be the one for you.
Your energy level when you started that album review to how you finished not inspire me to go listen to that.
No, I started thinking about it. I was just like, man, I didn't really want it. I thought I mentioned it because it did come out and it's Party Next Door. It's kind of a big drop. So, but it's not for me. I'll never click on it again. Yeah, I'll never click on it again.
Man, whatever happened if you got that nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
Unfortunately, we come over here to say what we think. So, so that's those times are long ago.
We got a podcast,
ago.
Bro. We got to say whatever we
feel. Long ago, bro. I got to tell you what I think. Otherwise, I come here and say I love every music. Yeah. I love every song.
That's
all right,
real.
So
that's
real. I think on this one, I'm gonna let you open this one up because I feel like you'll be able to explain this a lot better to me. But let's start at the beginning. So we're going to talk about GameStop. I'll let you explain how you see fit, but I think this started with Melvin Capital and they wrote out an article about GameStop, right? About short selling GameStop. And then that's when Reddit kind of came out and took it over, right?
I wouldn't put it squarely on them. That is a significant piece, but it's not like the overall start of it.
Okay.
All right. So if you haven't heard, if you've been under a rock, like it's been a lot of controversy with the stock of GameStop over the past couple days, past week now. And before we get into the conversation, I think it's pivotal that we understand a few terms here about what a short sale is and what a short squeeze is. So before we get started there, I should offer a caveat that this is not financial advice. I'm in no way a financial guru or anything like that. This is just my base level understanding from reading into it. This is just what I take away from it. So if I throw around some terms that could be wrong or throw that out, I don't want to be held liable for, you know, you taking this and going and starting the whole
I'm about to go short sale. Yeah, like, you know me, I got a short squeeze thing.
Yeah, no, don't take that, bro. I do not want to be held liable. But a short sale is basically, or when you buy stock, you basically buy into a company expecting that that company is going to do well. And the better it does, the stock continues to rise and you make money as that company's stock starts to rise. So if you buy a stock at $100 and then that company goes up in value and is now worth $150, you're able to pocket that $150 in profit. Now, the exact opposite of that is a short sale, where a company or typically a hedge fund, they looks at a company and they think that it's overvalued and they predict that it's actually going to drop in value. So what a short sale is the hedge fund gets with a hedge fund manager and they find and borrow a stock and then sell it at its current value. When the stock eventually drops, which they anticipate it does, they buy it back at that new lower value and they pocket the difference when they return the portfolio. So for example, if company X is valued at $100 per stock, and I don't think that that's a correct value, I think it's actually worth about 50, I'll short sale it and I'll borrow a share of that stock and I'll sell it for $100. And then when it drops to about 50, I'll then buy it back at that 50 and I get to keep the difference between the two because I never bought it initially, but I did sell it. So that's kind of how these hedge funds actually go up against companies and they bank on a company actually either failing or losing value. Now, there's also a strategy called a short squeeze where people actually go into and buy the actual stock that people anticipate to drop in value and they actually increase the value of it. And these hedge funds and these people that actually short sell the stock that they anticipate the price to drop, as it goes up, they begin to lose money. They only make money if the company value drops, but as you short squeeze it, you're actually raising the value of the stock by buying more and more of it, thus increasing your gains, but increasing their losses. So what happened with GameStop, and this goes back all the way to 2019, where a lot of people were predicting that nobody really wants a brick and mortar shop that sells video games. With the new consoles and you being able to buy everything digitally, a lot of people in 2019 predicted that GameStop was either going to go out of business. So that led to these larger hedge funds really starting to up the ante on these short sales. They were really predicting that GameStop was going to go out of business. So there became a lot of short sales on the company. So much so that there were actually more short sales on the company than there were available stocks. And then the subreddit forum called Wall Street Bets actually took note of that. And then they actually encouraged their members or the members on that forum to actually buy up the GameStop stock so that they could, one, drive up the price and make money, but also stick it to these large investment firms and these large hedge funds that actually banked on it to actually lose money. So that actually caused the stock over the span of a month of GameStop to raise over 1,500%. And it actually caused these hedge funds to lose about $19 billion. So that's kind of the broad range, my level of understanding of what happened. Again, there are some small details, and I'm sure Kevo can fill that in, but that's kind of what went on from a broad view.
Yeah, it's amazing sight, right? This is the first time we've seen in quite some time money from like Wall Street going back into kind of the normal average day person, right? Like, we don't see somebody actually stick it to the man, right? Like, we everybody say that, like, hey, like, you know, fight the government and fight the power and do this and stick it to the man. These people really brought it to the man. They really brought it to the people that's really making money doing the same thing that they just did just there. Like, they legitimately did it in a excellent way. Like, I can't believe that this happened because it seems so simple that it's stupid. Right. It seems so simple that it's stupid. You just get a bunch of your friends, y'all start a Reddit. And then y'all basically just say like, hey, we're going to go and fight with fire. Right. We're going to go on stocks. We're going to buy into it. We're going to make sure these people lose money. And we're going to gain money at the same time. Right. That's a simple concept. It's not hard at all. It's kind of amazing that it has been done already. But these guys, the people that were doing it are, to me, it I actually watched some videos about them, and they actually been trying to do this for some time. And there's some millionaires too. Like, they're the guys that actually like kind of run the Reddit. They're actually some millionaires too. So they know what they're doing. They're not stupid. But to be able to kind of get millions of people to kind of buy into something like this is kind of really it is dangerous in a way. And I know a lot of people are saying that it's kind of dangerous for our economy, which I do agree with that. Like, you don't want people to just mess around just because they can, just some kids or just doing some stupid stuff. You don't want anything like that. But for one day and one day only, or for one week and one week only, it is good to see somebody take another shot at somebody else, as somebody that's been doing this for years, and say, hey, we can play that game too. Now, I have an issue with the Robin Hood aspect of it, which we'll get to a little bit later. But as far as just this and my overall thoughts, you know, job well done. Job well done to actually say, to actually take some power back from Main Wall Street and say, hey, I see what you guys are doing. We can do this too. And hats off to them. That's my initial thoughts on it.
Yeah, and I agree. I think you made a great point, is we typically don't see this done, but it is actually common that this happens. It's just so much that it happens on the side of the hedge funds. They actually manipulate the market to the point to create the situation, because the more and more people short sell stocks, the more and more that people believe that stock is going to lose value, which, you know, ends up becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. And then the stock actually lowers. So like you said before, these hedge funds and these companies, they come out and they make articles and they make TV appearances, and they influence the market so much to where these stocks lose value. And because they already have a vested interest in it, they make their billions or they make their millions. So this is common practice. Is it legal? Technically, yes. Is it ethical? No. So to see the tables turn, so to speak, to where the common person was empowered to use those same tactics and, you know, stick it to these hedge funds and these millionaires, I think that that's a good show of solidarity and a good show of concept that, yo, if we just come together to a specific cause, look how much power we really have. Because this wasn't just a couple people on the internet site playing around. Like, there were millions of transactions that drove this increase in stock. Like, there were millions of people. I mean, this spread across party lines. Different political figures agreed with this. Different people with different ideologies from background, they agreed with this sentiment. So if we can just, I hate to be that guy, but if we can really rally around a specific cause that we can all get behind, this is the true power that we have as a people, you know, in a free country. So like you said, shout out to them. And this is a good demonstration for that specific aspect of it. But when it comes to how Robin Hood was involved in it, I think that we're going to move into next. That's where things get a little bit shady and we need to better educate ourselves.
Yeah, this is actually a really big deal. So, you know, anytime that Republicans and Democrats are actually like agreeing on something, you know, something like, y'all, we can't fuck the people like this. Like, AOC and Ted Cruz fighting for the same thing right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we hear somewhere, like, we getting somewhere. So basically, Robin Hood, during this time, so after a couple of days, I want to say it may have been 2 or 3 days, it was a very quick turnaround when Robin Hood actually took effect into this, because all of these stocks that were being bought were majorly being bought on Robin Hood. So Robin Hood in turn took other stocks as well as GameStop off the market completely. Not only that, they were actually selling some of the common folk, if you would, selling some of their stocks at a price that wasn't even what they closed at. Right. So let's say GameStop closed around 300. I've seen reports from anywhere where people were saying that, hey, my stock got sold. It sold at $75. I've seen people say, hey, it sold at 118. I've seen people say it sold at 150. I've seen all the way down to $50. So that is, for one, to me, it seems illegal to do. But I'm not a lawyer, so I won't get into that. The big issue of this is, we see that it's not a free market. Right. That's kind of what the big thing to me is. We see it's not a free market. It's free as long as you stay in your lane. Right. If you stay in your lane, you make your little dollars over here. We making big money over here. We doing what we got to do. If you want to buy into this, we have all these packages that you can actually pay into. You can pay this package, that package. If not, we control the whole market. So you can either buy in or you can keep playing with the little money down there that we allow you to play with. If not, I can't help you. So Robinhood is guilty as all, like guilty as them as well. Robin Hood actually posted in 2016 on a Twitter, like, let the people vote, right? Let the people buy stocks, right? Like they market on letting the common folks kind of just like buy stocks. They want to get into that. That's kind of the whole mantra. This is going completely against what they say. completely against. It's not even close to where they're actually trying to market. They're literally selling your information to these hedge funds so they can make more money. And the one time that you actually say, hey, we're actually going to take back money from them, they side with the other folks. They side with the hedge fund. They say, no, we need more regulation. We need to stop people from just buying whatever they want. We need to do this and that. That to me, ethical is one thing. Downright dirty is another. That's just downright disgusting. That's not acceptable at all on any level. And I think that we need to fight back at any way we can. Like, if you own Robinhood stocks, for one, I think you should probably sell out and get out of Robinhood. I think whatever you can do, do not support Robinhood. I don't think anything like that needs to be supported. I think they should try to. I can't see how they survive this at all. Just to backlash in general. I seen reports that like 10,000 reviews were left, and Google actually removed them. So a lot of people are into this, trying to get Robinhood to you know, keep going, because they're making a lot of money off of Robinhood about what they do. So Robinhood and the hedge funds are both working together, but they're not working together for you. You're not a customer. You're the product. That's the problem with Robinhood. You're not a customer. You're actually the product. They're actually selling you and your information so other people can make more money. And in turn, you can make a little bit if you do what you're supposed to do right. So if you stay in line, you can make money. If you buy in, you can make more money. If you don't want to, if you go against us, though, well, now I got to shut the whole thing off. So you raise quitting now. I mean, it's just, it's so much I can say, and it's very upsetting. And I don't know how many lawsuits have been filed so far, but I would imagine we see that number drive up like dramatically. Like, I'd imagine we see lawsuits, you know, out the ass at this point, because that can't stand. We can't allow this to happen. If it's a free market, then we have to let it be a free market. If you want to manipulate it, wouldn't just say that. But don't you can't try to say on the both sides of those statements. So both, because both of those things don't make sense.
Yeah, I think you hit all the main points. Like, you killed that. Like, it's, I think the documentary was called The Social Dilemma, where it says that anytime a platform is free, like you said, you're the product. You aren't. It's never, nothing is ever free. What's actually being sold is your information. It's similar to, like, if you see all the Wall Street movies or whatever like that, you wonder, like, why are all these people on the floor looking at these numbers? The goal of that is so that they're closer to where these trades are being made, so that they can put in their trades before the market either goes up or down, so that they can make their money. The goal is to be ahead of the curve before the curve actually goes up or down, so that you don't lose money or you can make more money. And when Robinhood takes this market information from these common people that they're marketing to sell to, they sell that to these hedge funds. They sell that to these larger firms that need that information. So if they can see a wave coming from the users of places like Robinhood, they can put their money in the right place so that they can continue to make money with their hedge funds. So when you think about it, Robinhood stayed loyal to their real customer, which are these hedge funds. Because if they stop people from buying, the only people that would benefit from that are the hedge funds. Because again, when you short sell something, you don't own the stock. You haven't bought it yet. You buy it back at the lower price when it eventually drops. But if it doesn't drop and it actually goes up in value, you're incentivized to buy as soon as possible to kind of prevent your losses. Because just like in the case of you buying a stock, as the company goes up, there's an infinite amount of potential for you to make money. There is no limit to how much that stock can be worth. And the limit to your losses is how much you bought it for. So if I buy a stock at $100, the most I can lose is that $100 if that company goes bankrupt. But if that company becomes the next Tesla, the next Amazon or whatever, there is no limit to how much money I can make with that initial $100 investment. The reverse is true from a short sale perspective. The most money you can make from short selling a $100 company is $100 per stock. But there's an infinite amount of money you can lose if you don't buy back in time to cut your losses. So when a company like Robinhood stops our ability to buy up shares, which is inevitably driving up the share price, they're actually saying, we don't want these big hedge funds to lose more money. So we're going to allow them to buy the stock back so they can cut their losses. But we don't want you to sell or buy this stock so that you can continue to make money. So it's a clear demonstration of where these companies stand. And again, like we've been talking about over the past couple of years, like as we as a culture, as we as society move into these topics that were typically seen as taboo, like politics, like police reform, like the stock market. Now, as these things become more and more normalized, we have to see and learn the tricks of the trade. So like I said earlier, these things happen all the time, but typically they only benefit these millionaires. It's up to us to figure out, okay, now we see how these markets move. Now I want to be able to make a trade or go through a company where I can decide where my money works, or I can decide if I want to buy and sell. I don't have to rely on a third party who can show up and say, nah, we don't want you to do that because that's not in our interest. So as we get more and more politically savvy, as we get more and more financially savvy, it's up to us. And we can use this as a learning moment, a teachable moment to figure out where we want to stand and where we want to play in this game. Because unfortunately, this is the game. I'm not here for like taking my ball and going home and throw the whole system away. But I'm also not here for just going back to how things were and letting these millionaires take advantage of us. So we've shown that as a community, as a collective, we have this power against, if you see yourself as against these millionaires, but I see it as now we have all learned how the game is being played and how as a collective, we can use these same strategies to make us some money.
Yeah. And I would look this up. I mean, King said that, King explained that whole thing very beautifully, but I would definitely go and try to find like somebody that's actually like a financial manager, because there's a lot of videos on YouTube that actually have somebody explaining why is this happening. Will it continue? What will it take to continue? What stocks can be next? It can actually really make you a lot of money if you go and watch and kind of read into just this one situation and apply it to other stocks and other like examples in life just in general. So if you actually are looking to get into stocks, this might be a really good time. This might be a time for you to actually look into this and actually, because it's infinite amount of information on this. It's infinite amount of information. We could talk for another 2 hours and we probably still wouldn't cover everything that's going on with this. It's a really big deal. And I think it's going to have a really big impact going forward as far as the stock market, as far as how people look at the stock market. I really want to see how this plays out. I think we will be talking about this going forward because this is going to be a lot of court actions. Like we're going to get to see exactly how this plays out in court. And I'm here for it. I'm really am here for it. Cause that I can't get it. I was legitimately upset about this. I was legitimately upset. And I had a lot of stocks in Robinhood. I still do. Right. Cause I don't have any options right now. I still do right now, but I got a lot of money in the Robinhood and I'm very upset about a platform that I was on that behaved in that manner. So.
Yeah. Kevo said we could talk about this for hours, but that's about the limit of my information on stocks, trading. That's all I got, boss. So,
yeah. Well, you know, listen,
educate yourself.
People get uncomfortable when you take your power back, man. People get facts. Uncomfortable, man. People really get it when you start using your power, dog. When you start actually knowing what to do and getting taking their same weapons and using them against them, bro. People get really uncomfortable, dog.
If it's anything we've learned over the past year or so, is that when people come together, things change. Now, whether that be something that you agree with, like whether you agree or disagree with Black Lives Matter, so many people came together, some things started to change. Whether you agree with or disagree, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure we all disagree with what happened with the storming the Capitol thing, but yo, they came together and then things changed.
Yep.
Whether you agree or disagree with what happened with this GameStop situation, people came together and I hope things will change for the better. But again, This should be a demonstration of what happens when we rally around a central point that's effective, that we can all agree on and get some things done.
On another note, though, watching the news and seeing the ridiculously rich white people
hilarious,
just shook. just shook, bruh. Like, bruh. It is I had a ball watching that, bruh. Dude, funny. It's the funniest thing to me was just like, oh God, we need more regulations. That's exactly the thing you never wanted. Like, that's exactly the thing you never wanted. You never wanted regulations. Because if you did, you would have been doing that like 60 years ago. Now we've been needing regulations, but we needed to stop y'all motherfuckers, not us. Come on, bro.
How ironic is it that GameStop for years has been taking our money and not giving us what is value. We give them a game that we just bought. They're like, ah, the best I could do is $5.
In a
how
time
ironic that we came to their rescue and pulled that same tactic against these investors, bro.
We fucking
the poetry, bro.
Bro, people that play games hate GameStop.
Duh.
Literally hate GameStop, bro. Like, nobody would be mad if GameStop went out of business. That's the funniest part. It's not like it's a business that we all want to hear. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about GameStop. I've seen losses up to $70 billion if you combine like all the major hedge funds.
Yeah,
I've seen losses like $70 billion. The funny part about that is to think that big of a loss, $70 billion, like that's a big figure, right? Think about how much money they got.
Yeah, if that's how much they lost, think of how much they still did gain, or think how much they still got left. It's crazy, bro. But again, this is now the game. It's kind of like the Matrix, bro. It's like, yo, you get woke up. What you want to do? You want to go back to sleep, or you want to keep going down this rabbit hole? Because this rabbit hole is crazy. Once you really start to get into this, bro, it's crazy.
Crazy. But let's go ahead and move on, man. Let's get into Deshaun Watson. We'll talk about his contract. What I want to start with this is it's not necessarily we want to talk about where he's going to go or anything like that, sports related. We may get into that a little bit, but I really want to talk about kind of – it's really, to me, like the NBA influence right here. That's kind of really what I'm seeing when I'm seeing Deshaun Watson's contract, when I actually look at what's in there and like the no-trade clause, things like that. Like even that sounds weird to me for an NFL player, like no-trade clause. Like you hear that a lot in the NBA. Like the NBA, all the NBA all-stars, they got their no trade clause. You do not hear that a lot in the NFL because it's a business. And it's 53 men on that roster. And if I had to get one of them out there to get somebody in, then that's what I'm going to do. If I had to get you out of there to make sure I could pay the quarterback that I just drafted, that's what I'm going to do. Like it's always been that. It's always been you play football, I'm going to handle all this business, you don't get involved. It definitely seems like we're taking a little bit of a turn here. It actually, to me, really started when Tom Brady actually left New England. When Tom Brady really never left New England, say, okay, y'all not going to give me what I want. I've been in this organization for damn near 2 decades. Y'all not treating me like I've been in here for 2 decades. I'm not just a player. I deserve some respect in here. I deserve some type of power. He wasn't getting that from Bill Belichick and the rest of the organization in New England. So he says, all right, I'm going to dip. He dips. Not only does he dip, but then he becomes successful enough to go to the Super Bowl again with a new team. Clearly, y'all wasn't giving him what he needed if he still has this in him. Like, so... then we get to this year, and Deshaun Watson, after this year, the season goes bad. It goes sour, obviously, and he's just like, all right, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. All right, this is what I need. I need y'all to give me say-so in the coach. I need you to give me say-so in the GM. I need y'all to give me this type of power, and that. I need mine. I'm 25. I'm taking my power into my own. I can't do this for the rest of my career. They met none of his demands. None of his demands. In fact, it's damn near a laugh in the face, a smack in the face to him. Like, to just not listen to anything he has to say, knowing he's your star franchise quarterback. So he said, okay, guess what? I guess I'll play my ultimate trump card. I want out. I ain't playing. I'm not playing. So not only does he have a no trade clause, right? So he can – this is an infinite amount of power for Deshaun Watson. So – the team that's going to get him, you would think, like, man, he has a really big contract, right? Well, not really. If you really look at his contract, it's only $30 million to an average for the next 5 years. $30 million for Deshaun Watson is not a lot. And why is that? Because most of his money was paid up front. He already got paid $80 million of that contract that he signed. He already has that money in his bank account. That's his money. So they already paid his bonus. So next person that gets him, they don't have to worry about any of that money. They got just worry about the $30 million, and that's just an average. Some of those years are $25 million. Some of those years are $12 million. Some of those years are $28. It just goes up and goes. It just depends on how it averages out. But at the average for the next few years, is going to be $30 million. That is a very, very reasonable contract for a player of Deshaun Watson's caliber. But not only that, with that no trade clause, he can basically negotiate the trade himself. He can say, hey, Miami said they're gonna give us 2 first-round picks, 2 seconds, and we're gonna get to it. He could say, nah, if y'all want to trade me there, we're gonna take one first, 1 second, and you can get two. I want my team to be good. So I ain't going unless y'all change that. Y'all taking too much from them. What they gonna do? You know what I'm saying? Like, what can they do? If not, I'm gonna sit it down. I'm 25. I'm a quarterback. I can pay them. I'm 35, 40. You see Tom Brady. I ain't worried about 1 year. This is not a Le'Veon Bell situation where, as a running back, already older running back, he was already kind of down the downcline. So he already had it kind of worked against him to sit out. For Deshaun Watson, I got $80 million in my pocket. I'm a quarterback. I'm one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I'll sit it down. I will. I just think it's just amazing to me just to see like the power kind of change to the players in an organization like the NFL, which has never been that way. It's never been that way. And to see it now, I want to just kind of talk about, what do you think of your first impressions of like his contract and his situation? And is it going to continue being like this in the future? Will we see more players with this type of power in their organizations?
So I feel as though this is, like you said, a unique situation. We often don't see this. We see this all the time in the NBA. We just saw this with James Harden. And before that, we just saw this with Anthony Davis. Like, yo, I'm getting out of here and I want to go here. And we're going to have to figure this out. And they're at the star's mercy, so to speak, in the NBA. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I think that this is able to occur in the NFL today because this is a quarterback-driven league. And when you think about the NFL, I think of it like kind of like a car. Or like a race team, right? And you have your owners, you have your managers, and that's kind of like your pit crew, and that's your finances, and that's your brand that gets you all the car and the engine and all that. But the different parts of the car is the team. And then you got, you know, your receivers, you got your running backs, you got your O-line, D-line, you got your defensive, you got your linebackers, and those are all parts of the car, but the quarterback is the driver. And what we're seeing in the NFL is this is a quarterback-driven league. If you have a great quarterback, you might not necessarily need the best car. You might not have the best tires. You might not have the best seating. You might not have AC. You might still have the roll down windows with the little turnstile, right? But if you have a good driver, you might be able to get to the finish line. You might be able to win that race. And like you said, Tom Brady has just proven that. How many Super Bowls has he won with a subpar car? How many Super Bowls or playoff appearances has he been in to where it's like, how did he do that? Only Tom Brady could do that. To your point, where the team he just left didn't even make it to the playoffs, but his new team in a better car, so to speak, is now in the Super Bowl. So I think that players like Deshaun Watson, they're able to exercise this type of power because this is a quarterback-driven league. And even to drive this point home further, you have a running back in Derrick Henry, who just did something that I think only like two or three people have ever done with the back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons. And who's going to win MVP? Probably Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback who just had a good year. But what Aaron Rodgers has done, many people have done that. You have a rookie in Justin Jefferson that broke all type of rookie records in receiving yards and touchdowns. But who won the Offensive Rookie of the Year? Justin Herbert, a quarterback. So this is a quarterback-driven league. So yes, I think players like Deshaun Watson, who could be possibly up there with Patrick Mahomes as one of the best the best quarterbacks of this generation, he will be able to pull this. Can Carson Wentz pull this? Probably not. Can a running back, like you said, can Le'Veon Bell pull this? No. Can Leonard Fournette pull this? No. Can Antonio Brown pull this? No. Can Todd Gurley pull this? No. So we see that if you're not a quarterback, if you're not a great quarterback, you probably can't have this power. But for those like the Deshaun Watsons, maybe he is laying a blueprint so that he can break open that door for other quarterbacks or other players to exercise this power.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any other skill positions that you can think of. I mean, would Devontae Adams have the power to kind of hold Green Bay hostage like this? It's debatable. I mean, potentially, but most likely not, right? We already seen, it's kind of crazy because even when you're talking about the QB position, you're probably only talking about the top 10% as far as the best ones that can actually pull stuff like this off. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is probably still in that 10%, and they treat him like shit. You know, like they drafted his backup instead of getting him with somebody to win now with. Like, so you in the NFL, it's really tough to behave in this manner. So when you see it, it's just kind of eye-popping. Because when's the last time you've seen a 25-year-old free agent quarterback? A great one. Like, I don't know of a really great – I mean, the last one is, when you say great free agent, outside of Tom Brady, what, Kirk Cousins?
I was just about to say that that's a joke, but that's crazy that you said that.
Like, Kirk Cousins, like,
you like that?
Great? Right? Like, you like that? Like, you like that, dog? No? Like, come on, bro. Like, you don't see this type of shit going on, man. Like, it's really blowing my mind, especially when I heard that he had that no trade clause. And I'm just, the situation is all in his hands. It's like, he can do anything. Like, legitimately, like, he can legitimately do, he's literally going to get to go to a team that he wants to go to. And if he doesn't want to go there, he's just going to say, no, I'm sitting it down. And y'all going to have to play without me. Like, that's just what it's going to be. I don't care. That's a tough situation for organization. But we've seen, it's just crazy because everybody outside of Houston knows that the Houston Texans organization is a dumpster fire. Like, you've made the wrong decision on every single turn for about the last decade. I cannot, the audacity that you have for me to come to you and say, I'm going to need to start helping make some decisions here, because clearly y'all can't. And y'all still go on to fuck it up even worse. Like, why would I want to be here? Why would I want to spend my entire career here with y'all? Y'all already fucked off the rest of my first few years in the league. I'm not doing this with y'all no more, man. I'm not, I can't, like, there's organizations within the NFL that's ran so bad, but it just continues on because people are just rich, or it's just in a family, and just the owners are. It's crazy to me to just see these organizations ran this poorly, and no one is losing their jobs outside of coaches and quarterbacks. And it's just like the people that's not to blame at all are losing their jobs, and you still making money, and you just can't run an organization. That's just amazing to me. So I think you're going to see this a lot more with quarterbacks going forward, though, because it may now for better or for worse, right? Because we're going to see some shitty quarterbacks try to pull this type of stuff too. It ain't going to work as well for them. But I'll be surprised if we don't see, you know, some elite wide receiver, running back, linebacker, you know, one of those important positions on the field, actually, you know, try to get some more power within the organization as well. You know, it's the blueprint is out there. If you play well enough, you get what you want. You right? Like, you play what you do, you get what you want.
The only reason why I can't say this can be implemented by anybody other than a quarterback is just because the quarterback drives everything else. Yeah. Whereas though a running back is only as good as their offensive line, is only as good as their blocking. A receiver is only as good as their quarterback and their ability to get the ball. And, you know, defensive player is only as good as the scheme and is only as good as their supporting cast. Mm-hmm. Whereas though a quarterback, they kind of can make something out of nothing. Whereas though, like I said, they have the most power. We've seen great running backs go to a different organization and become a shell of themselves. Mm-hmm. Same with wide receivers, same with defensive players. So I don't know if anybody other than, unless the game changes, which it is currently going through a drastic change, unless it changes a lot, if we get that, you know, once in a generation type of athlete, I think this is like a quarterback only club.
Yeah, I can see that. I just want to say, though, out of all the things that I've seen in the last, like, maybe month or two, man, or maybe year or two, if you got Houston sports fans in your family or anybody you know, man, check on them, man. check on your Houston sports fan, man. From Deshaun Watson to James Harden, the Houston Astros situation they had going on. Boy, y'all is shit, man.
That's wild. Man, where is Travis Scott when you need him, bro? We need Travis Scott to save Houston.
Travis Scott ain't been in a game since.
We need a Travis Scott song. We need an album, bro.
Bro, Houston, rough for Houston sports fan, bro. They can't look to. It's like crazy because you're just like, well, like you go through the Houston Astros thing. You're like, well, at least we got a football team we can look to. I'm like, oh fuck. Like, well, at least we got a basketball team we can look to. You're like, god damn. Like, you can't win shit, bro. You can't do nothing. This is a year after Derek King, the star quarterback at Houston, left to go to another team. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy.
It's crazy. But this show you how great Deshaun Watson is. Like, they traded away DeAndre Hopkins, who was by far one of the top receivers in the league, and he still led the league in passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
So I just showed, like, if I have something, bro, we can be better than a 4-5 win team. Like, we, like J.J. Watt told him, like, we wasted one of your years, bro. Like, we should easily be in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, this is crazy. It's crazy. And, like, and we could talk about this for a little bit, bro. Like, because I've seen, like, Baker Mayfield was did you see Baker Mayfield's tweet? It was kind of funny.
Nah.
Baker Mayfield, so the Browns were saying, they were posting on some, like, Twitter or Reddit page or something like that, and they were like, hey, should we at least inquire about Deshaun Watson? And his tweet said, verbatim, it said, man, y'all Browns are funny. And it just kind of, like, it just looked kind of, man, like, it looked kind of crazy, dog. Like, it just, like, it obviously we don't even talk about, but it just, like, he said,
man, like this, so, that's not how we want to walk into Black History Month,
that's
bro.
That's wild, bro. That was a wild tweet, bro. Some of y'all Browns is crazy, bro. I was like, wow, that's wild. That's wild, but I do want to say, all right.
Miles Garrett going to hit him in the head with a helmet.
Oh, God.
He gonna come through.
Y'all Browns is crazy, though. That's the crazy part. I ain't saying the N-word no more.
I'm saying, y'all, man, what's up, my Browns?
Crazy. But what I was saying was, if I'm any organization outside of Kansas City, I'm at least having a meeting about it. Legitimately anybody. You might say, I mean, some of these young guys, like the Chargers, the Bengals might say, you know, we got a young dude. The Jaguars might say, we got a young dude coming in. Outside of that, who? Like who? Like Baker Mayfield? Uh-huh. No. All these dudes that are really great are going to be coming old here soon, right? So you got to think about Lamar Jackson's going to get paid this year. Josh Allen's going to get paid this year. Baker Mayfield's going to have to get paid this year. All these young other young, like the generation before, like Joe Burrow and them came in, all those guys are going to get paid this year. So they're all going to be expensive. So you can't say, well, you know, why not keep just a young guy that's expensive? Unless you got a rookie, then that makes sense. But all these other guys, like, I mean, I'm at least having a meeting about it. I'm at least taking a phone call about having Deshaun Watson on my team because he's considerably better than anybody else in the league outside of probably Patrick Mahomes. You can argue Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady is what he is. I mean, I don't think you can argue maybe Russell Wilson, but that's it. That's literally it. That's all you got.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how it unfolds. And again, like once it's done once, then they set the precedent for it. You know what I mean? Like, again, like the NBA, we keep referencing because that's kind of where this phenomenon started, where the players are kind of taking control of their careers. Like we went from a day and age where the commissioner blocked Chris Paul from going to the Lakers to the point where, you know, James Harden, Anthony Davis can opt out of their team. Like, oh, I don't like it here no more, bro. Yeah. You know, and I think the figurehead was LeBron. LeBron, you could see, like, if I get on the team, we're going to make the team how I want it to be. To where it's like his last year in Cleveland, like he blew that whole team up to where it's like, yo, I don't need Isaiah Thomas. I don't need Crowder. I don't need any of these people. Give me some people from LA. And he did that. So, you know, is Deshaun Watson laying the foundation to where the next generation can come and reap the benefits? I hope so, because we've seen as a running theme in this podcast, like when the people that are being taken advantage of had enough, if they get together and exercise their power, they can make change. And you see Deshaun Watson doing that at a different level, but it's the same concept.
Hell yeah. Man, I do want to say, though, it is levels to this, and there's ways to leave organization. It seems to always get ugly in the NFL regardless. But I don't know if I've seen an uglier, like, depart than James Harden and what he did to the Houston this year, the early, you know, the first quarter of the season. I mean, there's a certain level of professionalism that I would like you to carry yourself with at all times, no matter what. And it seemed like a shitty human being, kind of like, you know, like even the stuff he was saying about his team that last game that he played was just kind of, it's ways to do it and there's ways not to. And even though you can use your power, you don't always have to use it in a certain way. But who am I? It didn't really fit right to me, him coming looking like he weighed the same weight I do, just kind of like running out on the court. It's kind of like, you know, in the strip club with Nomad. Just kind of just disrespectful. Just at some point, he just seems like disrespectful. And just because you got, like I said, just because you got that power, don't mean you have to. You don't have to flex like that.
Yeah, man. Y'all Browns is crazy.
Y'all Browns is crazy. Y'all Browns is fucking wild, man. Oh, bro. Nah, yeah, man. It's been a wild start to the year, man.
Yeah, 2021, they dropping the 2020 Deluxe, ain't it?
Oh, they, I hate Deluxe. I hate the Deluxe, bro. Fuck, I hate
the Deluxe. It's the 2020 bro. Deluxe, bro.
Man, dog, yeah, it's a wild, it's a wild start, man. But man, is it interesting? I'll say that. Is it interesting? Especially sports in general. To think that we about to watch the old GOAT, like, I don't want to say the old GOAT, but the GOAT, the only GOAT, go against what people think might be the GOAT, might be the next GOAT. Like,
that's amazing.
It's gonna be a wild game, dog. You either gonna see, is the torch actually being passed, or is Tom Brady coming to tell you, like, nah, it's always been my torch. That's what we seen last year, LeBron. Everybody said, look, LeBron already got the torch gold. Kawhi got it. Before that, it was all KD got it. Everybody got it. LeBron said, I never lost it, dog. LeBron came and said, I never lost it. We gonna get to see that in the NFL? That's crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, man, let's get to these positive shadows.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to go first? You want me?
Yeah, I can start off. So my positivity shout out actually goes to T Grizzly. Now, many people are familiar with T Grizzly. You know, they praying on my downfall. You know, first day out, we all, if you know his music, you know his resume, you know where he comes from, you just expect a certain thing out of T Grizzly. But he's always been tied to the gaming community. To where I think back in 2019, it was rumored that he actually had a video game coming out. Now, I'm not sure if it actually did come out or not, but that just lets you know this isn't something new. And over the past year, like during quarantine, he actually transitioned into one of Twitch's largest streamers. And right now, he's currently sitting at 362,000 followers and subscribers, and his brand is still building. And he started off with like Call of Duty, like everybody got on Call of Duty Warzone, like over the past year. And just, he started off with that, and just to see like a famous face playing it consistently. And then now he moved over to a modification of Grand Theft Auto, to where he gets on there and he's a leader of a gang in one role play. And then he's the mayor of the city in another role. And just to see him like play that out, and just like one minute you see him like being a thug, and the next minute he got like this accent and he playing like the mayor, trying to lock people up. It's just funny to see T Grizzly in that environment, knowing where he comes from, knowing, you know, what his resume like. And I respect this so much is because we often see, or it's kind of like the general rule, to really be successful in music, you have to go outside of music. Like Jay-Z made his billions outside of music, Dre outside of music, Diddy outside of music. And we kind of see the same route for rappers to be successful. You know, you got your clothing, you got sneaker deals, you got alcohol, clubs, but it's kind of limited to those like things. And for T Grizzly, of all people, to turn into a top Twitch streamer, it just shows that it can be done, you know, because I think Logic, he actually had a deal beforehand, but Logic is kind of the exception to the rule. Like there aren't that many Logics. There aren't people that fit into that category. But like T Grizzly, that kind of just not necessarily lowers the bar, but it just makes it more accessible. It just shows you that it can be done. It's another demonstration of, okay, if I come from this background, I can transition to be this. You know what I mean? So just to see his growth from a rapper talking about getting out of jail to being a top paid Twitch streamer from playing video games is just a dope demonstration and a dope showing of growth. So shout out to T Grizzly for that.
That's dope. I had no idea. I gotta go watch that. That's all funny as fuck, actually.
Bro, YouTube T Grizzly GTA, you will be hooked, bro. He is hilarious, bro.
I gotta go peep that. Yeah, man. Mine's actually gonna be really short, because we already just been talking about him, but mine's gonna go to Deshaun Watson. And for really one reason, man, we've seen a lot of organizations and franchises throughout all the sports, really, through NBA, NHL, whatever you could think of, right? NFL. We've seen a lot of like really bad organizations just ruin good players, like just clearly just ruined him, like just drive him down into the ground, right? And then just leave him alone. They leave him after a few years and they just let him go. Deshaun Watson is literally saying, it's not going to be me. That's literally what's happening right now. Deshaun Watson is literally taking the power. He said, y'all, I can see what's going. I can see where this is going, where this whole thing is going to end. Well, I'm sorry. Y'all don't have to take that journey alone. A lot of people aren't going to like it. A lot of old school, probably, you know, sports announcers, a lot of old NFL dudes are going to be like, well, I don't like it. You know, mostly, though, because they didn't have that power when they were in the league. They didn't know that even existed. Let alone were they ever going to actually exercise that right. But to know your value to that organization and to know that it's not being appreciated, and then to then go take the step further and say, okay, well, let me at least try to build what I want in this organization while I'm here. I want to try to be a part of the decision making. That didn't happen. Well, then I got to play my last resort, and I'm going to get up out of here and I'm going to go do me. But whatever the case may be, you know, at least know that I tried. And that's what happened. Deshaun Watson tried to make it work. It didn't work. He realized that. And now at 25, he's saying, before I get down and can't get back up, I'm going to go ahead and just dip out. I got to take the power back for myself. And a lot of people need to take note of that just in their everyday life. Like, if your job ain't treating you the way you think and you know you got that type of value at your job, at some point you got to say something, right? You just can't be a pushover your whole career. You can't just stay at a career because it's easy. You got to do the uncomfortable thing. This is also uncomfortable for Deshaun Watson. Believe me, it's not easy for Deshaun Watson to get up and move out of Houston, the place that he's been living this whole time for the last, what, 5 or 6 years, and then to get up and go move to an unknown location with an unknown team and unknown teammates, unknown coaching staff, unknown organization, and try to take that one to a Super Bowl. That's not an easy situation. It's a hard ask. So for him to actually have the balls to say, like, yo, I know it ain't going to be easy, but I want that challenge. I'd rather have that challenge than the one I'm dealing with right now, because I can't do anything with this. I've tried all the way. There's nothing left in the bag for this. So I just think it's just an amazing showcase of your power and how to use it and your rights. So shout out to Deshaun Watson, man. I really appreciate him, you know, going out and doing the uncomfortable thing.
That's love. In a world of so many crazy Browns, man, be a Deshaun Watson.
That's going to be your next single? With that.
Well, they finally free me, dog. I'm staying away from the crazy Browns, all right?
The crazy Browns, but got you there.
I ain't messing with the crazy Browns no more, bro.
You got to find a tweet, bro. Find the crazy Browns Baker Mayfield tweet.
Oh, man.
Right. The funniest part about that, when I just told you, it took you about 2-3 seconds to actually realize.
I was like, oh.
Wow, that was so crazy. That's why. What is he doing, bro? You know you mad if you tweet something like that. Because you ain't even, he didn't even look at what he tweeted. He just typed that out. He was mad when they see that. I still don't know why he mad, though. Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson? I'll take the shot.
I'm going to take the shot.
Without question. So, sorry, boss. Sorry.
I'm short-selling Baker Mayfield.
I'm short-selling
my guy.
But you know it's bad with Baker because his, like, John Harbaugh was asked. I know we on sports now, but John Harbaugh was asked about Lamar Jackson. He's like, without question, we re-signed him. This is only a matter of time. They asked, old boy for the coach from the Browns. He's like, we got to be about it. we got to bite some kneecaps off, and we you know what I'm saying, we'll see what we see, you know. You know they still ain't sure about that, dog. That's crazy. That's in a weird spot because you can't pay, because he in the same spot Dak in now. Like, you good enough to do something, but we don't know if you're good enough to do what we need you to do, what we want you to do, right?
Right.
We giving you all the tools, and we've seen what you did with it, and it just wasn't enough. So what do we do now?
It's like, we'll pay for you if you go on sale.
Yeah. We'll pay you if you on sale. Like, if you give us a discount, we'll pay you. But we not going to give you $35 million. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can't do that, though. That's tough, man. That's a tough spot. They'll get a contract done, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But... I'll let you. You want to plug the website one more time?
Yeah, definitely check out thewhoamipodcast.com. By the time this is available, there will be a new article talking about the whole GameStop fiasco. If you don't think we did a better job, if you just much rather read about it and what a short sale is and all that things, there will be a article posted about that. There's also a new page to kind of break down if you're an Apple Podcast listener, if you're a Spotify listener, or if you just want a centralized location to listen to all the podcasts. There will be pages on the actual website for you to go and easily navigate, catch up on our back catalog. And we look to have some merchandise coming soon. So check out the website. We appreciate all the support and thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, man. Appreciate y'all tuning in, man. It's the Who Am I Pod. We out.